Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hi and welcome to Why Did You Make Me Watch That with me, Holly Frew.
Me, Ronan Warfield.
Hi.
Hello, Holly.
How's everyone doing this week?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, grand.
Yeah.
It's cold now.
It got cold. It did. It finally turned. I think we were getting away with it for a long time with the mild wind and the, you know, they're not really that cold. But this week was the first week I felt it like. So
I know. I actually put the heating on during the day today.
So depressing.
It's really like.
And do you know what another sign of the cold weather coming in is? The butter. When it's at room temperature is like hard. It's not spreadable at room temperature, and I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
If you keep yours out, this is the big this is the big burning question that this podcast, you know, aims to find out. So you keep the butter outside the fridge.
In a dish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do I.
Yeah, it's the only way. If it's real butter. If it's not spreadable shite, then you can put that anywhere, like, you know.
You could probably put that in like a freezer and it'd still just come out like spreadable.
Yeah. Yeah. It's no good. It's no bueno, as they say.
And yeah, it is. It's very hard. And basically it's, you know, you can't really, it's difficult to use.
Mm, it is. It is.
So it's, that's like,
it's toast fine. Regular bread, forget about it. It's going to be a massacre.
It's going to be a massacre. You're going to rip holes through that bread. It's not happening. You're just not going to have a ham and butter sandwich. Well, actually,
I was going for a crisp sandwich in my mind. That's weird that you went ham and I went crisps. Interesting.
Actually, you could use the cold butter on your bread, but only if it was with the aim to actually have butter as an ingredient in your sandwich.
As like a something in it, like, you know, a layer like of butter and a layer of ham and a layer of cheese. Yeah. But the, the butter is as thick as the ham. Like,
yeah.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
It's like an actual added ingredient as opposed to just like a little spread on the bread.
A garnish on the bread. Like, yeah.
I know.
Yeah. We have very unhealthy sandwich habits. That's what I'm learning today. We do. It's no good.
But actually, but butter is fine, isn't it?
None of the quantities we're talking. Well, certainly not the ones I'm thinking of anyway.
Butter is so good though.
It's a one way ticket to cholesterol city, I think.
And don't forget, I don't know what I was thinking of there. I think I was going for like, and it's the bypass express.
Don't forget to take that bypass to your bypass.
Like, and then I just thought of Polar Express there, and I was thinking that's a really good, that's a lovely Christmas movie.
It is.
Just
famous for its associations with heart attacks.
Yeah. We have fun.
So yeah, we're in the home stretch now for Christmas. It's finally now the Halloween's over. It's just Christmas everywhere. Just Christmas lights. There's a balcony in my apartment complex that has just gone crazy.
Really?
They've literally put up the brightest, most obscene Christmas lights you've ever seen in your life. And like, it's not a big balcony. It's like I would say 10 feet by 4 feet wide. Like,
okay, yeah,
5 feet
yeah.
wide maybe. And it's about 10 feet long.
You'd fit like the old the clothes rack on it.
Yeah.
And maybe one table and chair.
Yeah. And you could probably see this thing from space at night. It's like, they've gone nuts.
Really?
And when you drive in, all you see is this balcony. It like completely outshines the rest of the block. Like.
And is there like an actual Christmas tree or is it just like all the lights?
Not in the balcony, it's just all lights.
Wow.
But they're really, really bright. Like, it's mad. So.
Are they those kind of bluey lights? I'm not a big fan of the bluey kind of.
No, they're the soft white.
Oh, okay.
But there's like lots of them and there's like flashing animations and stuff. Like it's.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they've gone nuts. So
you're like, this is a bit intense. As long as it's not like going into your bedroom, you don't mind.
No, it's not facing us at all.
Not yet.
But I'm a bit worried that it might be a sign of how this apartment... See, this is our first Christmas in this new apartment
block.
Oh,
yes.
And I'm worried that it might be like this weird...
Christmas. You know,
thing with this block that they just go nuts at Christmas.
Like, hi, Ronan. Welcome to Christmas land.
Yeah. And I'm like, this is like... It's like weird keeping up with the Joneses. Everyone just goes nuts.
Yeah.
So, let's hope not. I know, well, I don't hate Christmas and I love Christmas, so I'll be decorating, but I won't go nuts.
Yeah. So. In the end of the day, it's like, it's kind of actually handy if you've a few places though that do a few lights and things, because, you know, you're looking out at it. So it's kind of nice to have something like that to look out at rather than like, you know, and you don't, it means then you don't have to go like too crazy in your own balcony. Because like everyone else has done the decorating kind of on your behalf.
I can just put like a little glow up thing of the Grinch.
That would be so funny. That would be good.
Yeah.
But
we'll see.
Yes, we will. Keep us posted on that, because that...
I will.
Yeah.
I will. So how was your week?
Grand. I'm going to go to London this weekend.
Oh, you're going to London.
I'll be reporting back après London.
Yeah.
Next week. So this past week has been kind of uneventful. I submitted a project and just been working. It was a week of hell actually with work. My boss was off. And everything was just collapsing. And it was just kind of like, I'm just going to just close my laptop and walk away now.
It's like that meme with the dog and he's in a room that's on fire. It's like, this is bad. And it's a big smile on his face. Have you seen that one now?
No. I've seen a billion memes, but...
Yeah, but it's just like the dog sitting there, he's got a smile on his face, but the room was on fire all around him. And he's like, this is bad, you know?
That's exactly what I was like. Just, you know, okay, so this is happening and I'm just going to just try and breathe and hopefully it'll
walk away.
Yeah. And then just come back the next day and hopefully it'll be gone.
Magically so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like nothing actually changes. Just,
I like your work ethic. I do.
Hopefully it's fine now. But actually this week feels like a totally different week. It's so mad. So I'm glad that it feels less stressed, kind of.
That's good.
What about you? How's your week going?
Not so much stress this week than it was last week, because it was like work plus the sickness plus everything else that was going on.
Yeah.
This kid was sick. And now this week it's a bit mellow, you know, it's not too bad.
You're feeling,
I'm coming down with a tiny bit of a cough as a result of the sick I had last week.
Run down.
Yeah, it's just the rundown stuff, but you know, nothing a few lamb sips and a cough bottle won't take care of.
Do you feel like you have weird looks by people because they're like looking at you
when
and
I cough,
going, oh god,
yeah, unclean. That's the looks I get. I made the mistake of having a little coughing fit in work earlier on today, and they're all like, oh, you've got COVID, blah blah blah. You're
just like,
yeah, you're all hilarious. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Covered faces, just like, ooh.
Yeah, so immediately when anyone sees you or hears your cough, it's just like,
yeah.
So,
but in fairness, you probably stigma. Would do the same.
It's the stigma I now face as a cougher. So
I know how, like, do, yeah,
new social stigma.
I know, it's bad.
It is bad.
I met Nicola, friend of the pod, and she was feeling a bit sick as well. Get well soon. She was saying that she kind of like almost had to put it out there, like, you know, it's okay, it's not COVID. Like straight away, kind of like when I met, like, I'm a bit
posting the antigen test online, like, look, it's clear, you know.
like, showing me her like antigen results on her phone app, just like, look, check this. I know she didn't, but it was yeah, I could like, I feel bad for people who have just literally got the common cold at the moment, because it's just like, just the kind of the immediate, like, you can talk to me, I'm a real person.
Don't stand so far away.
Yeah. It's not the C word.
So yeah.
Yeah, it sounds bad.
That sounds like it. Have I got long left? Doesn't sound like I do. Like the black lung, is it? Yeah.
I even actually just stopped there. Years. I didn't even. Sorry, you said it?
I said I was down in those mines for 20 years.
20 years.
20 years. And I smoke 40 a day, every day.
So. You know those people, though, that have actually smoked, like those little old men and women, like going around 90, 99 years old, 50 cigarettes a day. Those know, short ones as well, no filters.
Yeah, but you only hear about those because they're like, you know, anecdotal stuff. They're anomalies. Like,
yeah,
for
every
one of those, there's 10 people who died from the exact same thing. Like, you know, so that's just like, oh, my granny's mother's sister, blah, blah, blah. She lived to be 105.
I know. And she was then, fine.
Like, everyone else's granny gone by the age of 70 because they smoked the exact same things. Like, so.
That's true. Yeah. It's just that they're around. So you see them and they're like, all right. Yeah.
And most of the time they look like they want to be dead. They're all like just hunched over tiny old people who are just 70% tobacco anyway, like, you know. So.
This is true.
It is true. Anyway.
Cool. Well, what did So I think you went first last week.
Yes, correct.
So my things. So I ended up choosing V for Vendetta.
Ooh, interesting. Okay.
Okay. Full. I was going to say disclosure? Full declaration. Full disclosure.
Disclosure. That's what you're talking about. Full declaration. America was founded. No.
I had seen this movie, I think, when it came out, very like when it came out in the movies. But
that's 2006.
Yes, but I actually had not seen it since and kind of forgot a bit about it. So I was like, I'm watching it again. You're because again. Also cool. It's just recently added to Netflix. So if you haven't watched it, it's a recent ad. And then also because the 5th of November is Guy Fawkes. So I kind of felt like it was, so I kind of felt like it was time.
Very prescient.
Yeah.
That was actually why I suggested the whole 5th of November thing. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like literally on my, it came up like almost first on my trending now on Netflix. So it's
and you might say it's also a little bit more, it's also a little bit more prescient these days now with Brexit and stuff.
Yes, with Brexit, it also has COVID in there because there's like talk about spread of viruses, a viral outbreak.
Yeah.
But
we'll get into it. Go on, give you a rundown, sure. Yeah.
So, V for Vendetta. So it was released in 2005. It was actually released in 2006 in Ireland. So it stars Natalie Portman, and she basically is, she works in TV. Hugo Weaving, he stars as V, as the main guy. John Hurt is the Chancellor. And then Stephen Fry is in it. And then Stephen Ray is Chief Inspector. So basically, it's set in future England, and basically a sort of a civil war has broken out in America and is spread over to the UK. So there's kind of a bit of like, it's not a good time. There's a bit of a dictatorship going on. So John Hurt is what they call the Chancellor. So he's kind of like the dictator of England. And so you can see from the get-go, there's curfew in the streets in the evenings. So there's literally loudspeakers going on saying, like, you know, you can't be out. No one can be outside at this time. Please return back to your homes. There's surveillance vans going around picking up like monitoring kind of sound that's, you know, picking up people's conversations. And then there's censorship going on too, because when we can see like the TV station and sort of reporting happening as well, and there's clear changing around of stories, and they're sort of basically creating new stories out of the news stories that are actually happening,
putting spin on everything. Yeah.
So like they're the main kind of they're like sort of basically that's the world of the story, if you know what I mean. Yeah. And then it starts out. So Portman is going to meet a guy on a date, and then she gets sort of, there's guys or police that are going around trying to, you know, monitor the curfew, and they ended up almost attacking Portman. And then this guy comes along, and he's got the sort of Guy Fawkes mask, I think. Is it Guy Fawkes mask, or
they call it Guy Fawkes mask, but it looks more like, you know, the old theatrical masks that they use to like show the symbol of a theater, the happy sad one. This looks like the happy one.
Yes. I think there's a name for it, but I can't think so. Yeah, but I think everyone sort of recognizes the Guy Fawkes mask. So Portman is almost attacked, and then this guy comes along with the mask, and he's got like a wig and a hat and like a black cloak, and he's dressed very much in the same way as when you see pictures of Guy Fawkes from like 1650.
He's got that brim hat, the long brim.
And he also seems to be an expert kind of swordsmith too, so he kind of he can handle like kind of blades and stuff. But anyway, so Portman's getting attacked, V comes along, they meet, and she's kind of intrigued by him, but because he saved her, she kind of obviously has a level of trust. So he brings her up and up to a rooftop, which is like, you're looking at her going like, why are you going up? This guy is like armed to the hilt with knives.
Did save her life, and he's very charming. So, you know.
Yes, he is extremely charming and very well spoken. And he's clearly, extremely intelligent and stuff. So he brings her up to the rooftop, and he shows her, he says like, oh, do you want to listen to some music? And then she's like, yeah, sure. And he blows up the Old Bailey. And this is all within the first, 20 minutes. So it's not any big spoiler. But basically his intentions are for kind of major damage.
Yeah. It's the start of a campaign, a year-long campaign, sort of,
Exactly. then, so he learns that she works in TV. They're slowly getting to know each other because, of what's actually just happened that evening. And so she goes into work then, into her TV station. And one thing leads to another. And V manages to get on TV, puts his message out there. And in that to-ing and fro-ing, Portman gets injured. And then V decides to bring her back to his lair. So he kind of lives underground in a sort of a makeshift kind of tunnel. And
all the subways have been shut down, haven't they?
Yes.
to like restrict freedom of movement and all that.
So he's basically created a home out of like in the underground, in part of the underground in London. And that's where he kind of, he lives. So because she's injured and he knew that the way the government and the police are, if, because she was kind of associated, she was known to be, to have been associated with him, because she kind of saved his life at one stage during that scuffle in the TV station, that he knew that because she saved him, she would be led off and basically shot or, you know, worse.
Tortured, yeah.
Yeah. So he, yeah, so basically she stays underground with him for a while then, because he's trying to organize his big plot. Meanwhile, in the above ground area, Stephen Ray is the chief inspector, and he's trying to suss out who the hell is she, and who the hell is V.
Yeah.
And so there's kind of a continual investigation happening as well, and he kind of figures out that there's kind of a few people that start to get knocked off, and they're all linked, and they're all linked to a hospital that they all worked in. And it's got very big themes of like the Holocaust, and this hospital, they seem to have done sort of chemical experiments on the people that went there. And it just kind of, even imagery and stuff in it, it had like
pictures
of bodies thrown into a pit. And it was very like concentration camp kind of vibes. So,
which speaks to the wider theme of like fascism in the UK, like, and how it's fully taken over, like.
Yes. And yeah, there's a huge amount of like anti-immigrant, anti-Muslim sentiment as well, spoken by some of the main sort of the, you know, heads of state kind of people. And yeah, so basically it's those two kind of narratives running. It's V and Natalie Portman kind of trying to take thing, sort of joining forces in a way, and trying to take the man down. And then there's sort of Stephen Ray going around trying to figure out who the fuck is V and what is his purpose. And then also he's feeling like, himself as an inspector, he's feeling the heat from the head honchos on his side during this investigation as well, because it's dealing with a part of, I guess, their immediate history that they don't want disclosed either. But it's such a clever storyline. I love how it actually, it's so kind of eloquently, even in some of the lines in the movie, and the screenwriting is really amazing.
Yeah, it's strong, very strong.
And it
for a sci-fi set in a dystopian future kind of film, it's extremely sharply written, as you say, and it's very grounded in reality as well. Like,
yeah, it's totally great. Well, it's just unbelievable, because I mean, like, you know, for 15 years ago, say, it's really demonstrated a lot of truth in what's happening at the moment. And definitely, even just at one stage, it almost looked like the storming of in America. But then it was kind of,
the Capitol Hill,
But it was kind of like not exactly the same, but it was sort of similar looking in terms of the army and the people.
Yeah, the imagery was quite similar, but the intentions were totally different.
Intentions were not.
Yeah, yeah.
And just having, like, I remember first watching it and kind of being shocked at the, there's a reporter character, and he's sort of the quite a right wing conservative, loud mouth kind of presenter of a TV show. And I remember thinking he was so kind of fake and
over the top, not
real. Yeah, not like, it wasn't, that was quite obvious, like how unusual that was. And then it's just, that is the norm.
Well, there wouldn't be anyone's extreme on him on English television. Like, Piers Morgan gets close, I guess, because he's such an arsehole and he just says all the stuff that he says just for attention. But, like, I mean, if you look across the pond to America, like, every commentator on Fox News just imitating that character you're talking about. Like, they just say anything, and it's disgraceful, the stuff that they say. Like, there's one guy who I can't remember the name. What's it? Tucker Carlson.
Oh, yeah.
He is the worst. Like, he is literally, like, the absolute worst in terms of, like, you wouldn't even call him a journalist. You know, it's just, it's insane how much he gets to say and is allowed to say it because, you know, it speaks to a certain conservative right-wing base.
Yes.
And that's exactly, like, he was the first person, when I rewatched this, he was the first person that spoke to my mind when watching that character.
Yeah.
Because he just said stuff just to rile people up and stir up hatred and racism, like, you know.
Yeah, and, like, you wouldn't be too far off because, I mean, it's written by Lana and Lily Wachowski, who are American. And so, I mean, like, even though it is, you know, set in England,
that's also based on the graphic novel, again, by Alan Moore.
Yes.
Which it didn't stray too far from in terms of its style and its content. Like, it's
extremely, it sounds so stupid to say that, like, about, it's extremely visual.
It's extremely graphic novel-y, we'll say.
Yes. It has a definite style. And
yeah, its photography is very, yeah.
Yeah. You can see it, you can almost see it fits into those squares. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's, and like, everyone plays amazing roles in this. Like, everyone is so, everyone acts really, really well.
I like Stephen Ray in particular in this. He's very good.
Yes.
Because he's kind of like the realistic glue to hold everything together, I think. The other characters being so
off the wall, kind of.
Off the wall, comic booky, but he's definitely the most grounded in it. And, like, he kind of brings it all home, like, at the end. But,
yeah. And it wasn't, and actually, they kind of do a nod into the Irish thing as well, because they bring up his, like, Irish background too.
To sully his name or to sully his word on things. Yeah.
Yes. So it's just basically, it's dogging on anyone who isn't white, Protestant, and English.
And English, yeah. Which, you know,
is,
you won't have to look very far to see where that's happening in real life, like, you know.
Yes, I know. So, yeah, that's why it's actually unbelievably on point for a film that was made 15 years ago. Obviously,
more so than it was when it was made, like,
yeah, I know. Unfortunately, that's the case. But yeah, so I was, I didn't actually realize when I was looking up then about Guy Fawkes, because Guy Fawkes is really more of an English thing, but so yeah, your man went and tried to blow up the House of Parliament and failed, but that's because he wanted a Catholic king and not the Protestant king. And then people...
Well, this is at the point when the king, the English, who had been Catholic up to a certain point, then created their own version called Catholicism, called Protestantism.
Yeah.
Just because Henry VIII, I think it was, didn't, or yeah, or whoever it was, didn't want to, you know, be stuck with the same wife. He wanted to get divorced. And he started his own religious version of it. Yeah.
Like, I want them.
More than one wife. So he starts that whole thing. And yeah, the Guy Fawkes thing was he was an Irishman, I think, who just retaliated by doing what he tried to do.
And they burn effigies, and it's actually got a lot of anti-Catholic sentiment in it. But I never realized it was an anti-Catholic thing. I just thought it was like a fireworks thing. But there you go.
Indeed. There you go.
Oh, and also because the English had no Samhain, so they had no Halloween. So this is like their Halloween.
It's their thing. Yeah. So yeah, there you are. History, the present and the future, all in one review. Well done, Holly.
You are welcome.
Very,
and on
very
a little
nice
bit of a tangent there with V, but
that was good.
Yeah, V for Vendetta is definitely one to watch this November.
Definitely. Cool. Righty. And then we move on to my one, I guess.
Yeah, I can't remember what I gave you. Random ones.
You gave me The Holiday and The Firm.
Oh, yeah, The Firm. I remember The Holiday, actually, and then I was like,
wasn't in the mood for The Firm, so I went with The Holiday.
Oh!
By coincidence, also released in 2006.
Oh my God, we were on the same.
We were definitely on a 2006 buzz. So, yeah,
wasn't
so basically,
very Christmassy, was it?
Not very Christmassy. It's set at Christmas, but it's not really about Christmas.
No, yeah.
But, you know, because it's set at Christmas, it's considered a Christmas film. Like, but I had never seen it, so on I went with it. So basically, it's a very simple premise, I guess. So you've got Cameron Diaz, who is a movie trailer producer who lives in L.A. She is breaking up with her boyfriend, played by Ed Burns, who is also in the movie industry, because she found that he cheated on her. At the same time, in England, we've got Iris, who's played by Kate Winslet. Yep. And Kate Winslet is in the middle of a one-sided love affair with her. Is it her boss? Played by Rufus Sewell.
I think one of the bosses in the company.
One of the bosses,
feel
their
like
ex-boyfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's her ex-boyfriend anyway. He's played by Rufus Sewell. He's basically in her office all the time. And because she still loves him, of course, and he's still in her eye line every day, she never gets over him. But then she finds out around this time that he is engaged to someone else. And up to that point, it had been implied that they kind of or she had seen him basically flirting with the idea of getting back with her, or never stopped flirting with her and was always friendly and blah, blah, blah. So anyway, so we have both women who are now desperately unhappy with their love lives. So they jump on the internet and they come across a house swap website where they both put their respective properties up for swap. So very quickly, in the space of a couple of days, Cameron Diaz commits to moving into Kate Winslet's house, and Kate Winslet moves into Cameron Diaz's house. And therein is the crux of the story. So off, Kate Winslet goes to sunny LA. Cameron Diaz comes back to England, which is very Hollywood version of England. It's all like, you know,
it's the Cotswolds.
The Cotswolds. It's like a beautiful little cottage. It's like, you know, lovely, ornate, snow-dusted countryside. You know, it's all very, very.
I feel like the fire was lighting in the cottage
when she arrived.
Yeah. I feel like there's a little plume of smoke, just kind of.
Even though there's no one there, you know.
No, even though there's one there.
It was just ready to receive people. Like, you know, it's just a warm, calmy little cottage. She obviously doesn't like it at first because it's not got any of the LA fancy trims that she's used to. And of course, Kate Winslet loses her mind when she moves into this palatial LA mansion, which is just off the charts, swimming pools, hot weather, the whole lot. Like,
yeah, it looks amazing, actually.
So yeah, that's where they're at that time. Then one night, while Cameron Diaz is at home alone getting drunk, I think it is, listening to shit music, she gets a knock at the door, and it's Jude Law, who is Kate Winslet's brother.
Yes.
And obviously very handsome, because this is mid-2000s Jude Law, so he's, you know, at the peak of his handsomeness before he lost all his hair. Excuse me.
Has he lost his hair?
Oh yeah, big time.
He's still attractive.
Of course, he's still like Jude Law, but this is like peak Jude Law. Like, so obviously Cameron Diaz is bowled over by how handsome he is. So in starts their little romance. On the other side, Kate Winslet comes across Jack Black, who is a composer, I think. Yeah, movie composer. And she starts a little friendship with him, which starts to blossom into more than a friendship. And there's a couple of little side plots as well. Like Jude Law's character has a bit of a complication on his side, and Kate Winslet comes across her elderly neighbor in LA, who's played by the late Eli Wallach, who's essentially just a very old
screenwriter.
He's like the old timey Hollywood screenwriter who's basically just been forgotten by the industry. But is a fascinating character because he's just like a real insight into like the golden age of Hollywood, as it were. And so she starts a little thing with him, little subplot with him, friendship going there. But essentially romance is the name of the game. So it blooms for Kate and Jack, and for Cameron and Jude. And yeah, that's it. I won't ruin the rest of it because I think I've pretty much covered all the bases without getting into spoilers. But that was my review, by the way. It was okay. It was funny in parts. Very cheesy. A little probably too cheesy. A little too Hollywoody. It's directed by Nancy Myers, who is quite
like the
quintessential feel good
comedy director.
excuse me. I'm just trying to get some of her other films here. So yeah, like it's a collection of feel good comedies and stuff like that. It's Father of the Bride, Isle of Trouble, Father by Two, Parent Trap, What Women Want, Something's Gotta Give, all this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So they're all there. It's all, you know, the very same sort of wheelhouse in terms of like the the visual aesthetic and the general feeling of just a feel good comedy sort of thing. Like, and of course it's set in Christmas, so they go, you know, above and beyond. They go above and beyond to show you the beautiful side of, you know, a picture perfect Christmas sort of thing, like, especially in the English parts where they're just basically, you know, like I said, they snow dust everything, and it's like a postcard every time the camera moves. So yeah, look, not the worst film I've ever seen. Certainly, I can see why people embrace it as a Christmas film. It's by no means, you know, hilarious, laugh out loud or anything, but it's fine. You know, it's feel good.
Yeah, it definitely has feel good vibes, I think, in comparison to other rom-coms. And I think as much as they sort of dance over, like, it's, you know, they gloss it up a lot, I think the characters are still quite well formed.
I was surprised at the depth that they gave Jude Law's character, I'll be honest. I wasn't expecting them to give him as much depth as they did.
Yeah.
And that was good. And as well as that, the subplot with Kate Winslet and Eli Wallach was also quite nice and unexpected.
Yeah, as a friendship,
because there's the kind of stuff that you don't really expect on a film like this. You expect it to be just a by the numbers.
Just love interest only.
Love interest only, like, you know. I did notice very craftily that all the, like, you know, smoochy romance scenes are all Jude Law and Kate Winslet. There's no scenes of Jude Law and Cameron Diaz. There's no scenes of Kate Winslet and Jack Black smooching. They only let the really attractive people smooch. Have you noticed?
But there definitely is more smoochy in Jude Law and Cameron
Diaz.
That's what
I mean. Like, they're more aesthetically pleasing to look at.
But don't Kate and Jack not smoochy?
They have a kiss at the end when they're all reunited.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Again, not a spoiler because, you know, 20 years ago. And
yeah,
you can see what's going to happen a while away. So shut up. So they show any physical romance between Kate and Jack, who are probably the most realistic couple in it.
Yeah.
But they definitely show, you know, the good looking people wearing the face off each other every chance they get. Like,
it's so true.
I did notice that, you know. But now, other than that, rant. Yeah, it's fine. It'll kill 2 hours. A bit long, actually. I thought it was over 2 hours. Like,
was it?
Yeah, 136 minutes.
Wow.
So for a rom-com, that's substantial.
Pretty long.
Mm.
I kind of feel like maybe that added bit with Jude Law was kind of almost like they put this movie in front of an audience and they're like, what was the fucking point of him being in it? Kind of gave him more of a backstory.
Yeah.
So they got an extra 20 minutes on the end.
Yeah. Well, it worked because it gave him a bit more depth and it kind of made you feel, you know, he wasn't just a human Ken doll, you know,
there
for the scenery. Like, so.
And that and giving him more depth then kind of actually gave her more depth as well.
Hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Because it's like she doesn't want him just for being a Ken doll either.
Yeah, exactly. Although
I enjoyed the
depth that we're talking about here, I might as well say, is that he has kids that he doesn't want to, you know, expose to the many women he's probably had because he looks like 2000s Jude Law. So, so he has kids and, you know, but I'm like sitting there lying again. He's got 2 fucking young kids at home. Who's minding these kids while he's off pissing up at his mates every night?
Like, he was with
He's out with his mates. He comes, he first turns up at the cottage drunk because he thinks his sister's going to be
there.
Because he was out. And it's not Cameron Diaz. And then he's out the next night. That's when you run into her again. And
he's out for New Year's or there's some other.
Yeah, thing just guy's got no problem finding a babysitter. Like,
but I wonder, that's his other girlfriend, is the babysitter.
Yeah, yeah. The one who's pining.
If
I babysit for his kids, he'll see how much she loves me.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
We didn't see her in the movie, though.
Yeah, bless that poor babysitter.
So Cameron Diaz plays like this mad, you know, kind of career, not this mad career driven. She's just a career driven person.
No, she's more of a workaholic, I think.
Workaholic. So she's kind of obsessive about it. And so, but I love how the fact that she is a trailer producer. So she literally creates trailers for multiple different films. And, she kind of hears her life being said in a commercial speak. So it's kind of like, you know, I don't know what, I can't remember what her character is, but it's like, you know, Cameron Diaz is walking down the street.
Yeah.
And
she's unsure of her life because this man is really hot.
Yeah.
All the shit. Yeah. Yeah. No, that was a nice touch, Ari. Let's go. Lots of like winks and nods to like obviously people who are like in on the industry.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, Jack Black is a composer and she's a movie trailer producer. And yeah, so.
And the fact that John Krasinski is like an editor for 2 seconds.
I forgot about Krasinski at the start. He's like he looks about 4 years old.
He's literally Jim. I think he still has his Jim wardrobe on. And he's like just kind of like season 1 Jim, The Office. And he's like doing. He's just like being a commercial editor, trailer editor on the film. It's funny.
Looking at the camera every time somebody says something.
It's like, John!
Stop looking at the camera!
It's not The Office.
Yeah. You suck, Krasinski. Get off.
You're fired. They didn't fire him in the end, but they just reduced his role to like 2 seconds.
He had like a big supporting cast part, like
he was probably going to be
the Jack Black, you know, that was probably and then he just kept looking at the camera and so they got rid of him and brought Jack Black instead.
he would have actually been a good link with Kate Winslet, because he could have been there editing, like, you know, he could have been kind of in the house editing.
Mm-hmm. You're filtering a true, like, modern day Krasinski when he's all, like, you know, famous and hot. But, like, back then, he's just like a 12-year-old in Hollywood trying to get them. So,
yeah, it's true.
He wouldn't be as big a star as Jack Black was back then.
Yeah, but I would see, like, him and Kate Winslet more than Jack Black and Kate Winslet.
Yeah, yeah, true.
I mean, he's with another English woman, Emily Blunt.
That's true. In real life, yeah.
So, and they don't look that too different.
They don't look that dissimilar. No, yeah, that's true.
Look that too different.
Yeah.
This is a podcast where I speak English. Well,
you know, it doesn't matter if you're drunk.
It's 10:30 at night time, everyone. I'm very tired and
drunk.
I'm totally sober. I literally have water in front of me.
I'm totally sober.
Okay, it's vodka.
Anyway, so bottom line is, watch it if you want to kill 2 hours. I'm sure anyone who would be interested in that kind of thing has already seen it, but it'd be a nice little watch over the Christmas period, I'm sure.
Yeah, even if you have seen it already and you're like, I've seen it a million times, but, you know, we're talking about it and just, you can relive some the holiday vibes going on. And you can maybe tune into it. You can tune into it on FM 1057.
It's on Netflix, isn't it? It is.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's that. Very good.
Very good.
So do you have my choices for next week?
No.
No.
I'm just being so
bold.
Didn't
do your homework.
Let me see. You have a little goo. Oh, no. Do you know what happened? Oh, yeah. What? I was saying it to you. I wanted to get Ronan to watch Free Guy for this week. And so I wanted to obviously watch it first, because that's our premise, to watch.
Yeah.
And then
recommend.
Pass it on. Yeah. Yeah. And I started watching the first half hour of Free Guy, and I literally had to turn it off. I was just that desperate to, like, I was like, there's no coming back from this. It was terrible.
It was. It's not good. I watched it all the way through. And it's toe-curlingly bad. It's not good at all.
So it doesn't get better?
No, it gets worse, if anything. It's just a big, expensive, stupid mess. And it's like, it's clear that, like, a lot of money was thrown at it, because all the effects are top-notch.
It looks amazing.
It looks great, but, oh God, it's that director, Sean Levy, I don't know how he must know somebody, or he must know where someone's buried, because they just keep giving them these massive budgets to make these huge films that are just, like, absolute piles of shit. Like, I don't know how he gets away with it, but my God, he does.
What,
like, look at his filmography, and it's like,
I'm just looking at what he's made before. Oh yeah, I did enjoy Night at the Museum.
No, you didn't. Nobody enjoyed that.
Oh, I did. You keep on saying about kids' movies, but it's like, there's movies.
Like, a good kids' film is a good kids, but these are bad kids' films. These are like films for kids with ADHD or something. It's just, they're just not good. Like,
that's why I enjoyed it. Stranger Things?
No, he's only been a producer on that.
Oh, okay.
Executive producer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, he's only producing now. I can only see stuff he's producing.
No, but he's made some absolute clinkers. Like, he's made, you know, that Hugh Jackman thing about the fighting robots? Complete crap. I'm trying to think of what else was.
I'm like, I hate IMDb sometimes. So basically, he's Canadian as well. Maybe that's why.
That's why he's shit.
Only joking. No, it says his directing credits include Stranger Things. He might have directed
some of the episodes. Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, the internship. Remember that stupid thing with like Owen Wilson and.
Oh yeah.
And Vince Vaughn, where they go for a job at Google. It was like a pure advertisement for Google, like how they're not an evil.
Yes.
Horrible.
Cheaper by the dozen, big fat liar.
All the night like, museums. No, just
they're
just
very.
Bad.
Well, okay,
they're
look.
Very crowd-pleasy type of films, but they're just, yeah.
I did enjoy Night at the Museum. I would actually argue to say that Night at the Museum is 1,000 times better than Big Fat Liar, Cheaper by the Dozen, and Free Guy put together. So.
I would disagree with you there now.
I think I'm just a Ben Stiller fan.
Maybe. Aren't we all? But anyway, yeah, so bottom line is Free Guy bad. Don't watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
it was very disappointing because I was actually looking at it going, oh, this could be really good. And then it was just like half an hour in, I was kind of like, why am I not getting into this? And then I was like,
oh, that's right. It's not funny or engaging.
It's like half an hour in, I felt like I wasn't in the movie. I didn't have like a dig into the movie. Do you know that sort of way? Whereas like it should have happened in the first 5 or 10 minutes. You know, where you're kind of like, I'm invested.
It didn't get any better, so.
Yeah.
You saved yourself an hour.
An hour and a half, maybe.
Well, you'd already wasted the half, so.
That's true. Okay, so you tell me what my choices are then for this week.
Okay, so I'm just going to bring them up now because I have them written down here and I've lost the list. So,
do you know Tiger King new series is coming out soon as well?
Yeah, not that fussed, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah.
I watched the first season and I was like, yeah, it's intriguing and very, you know, compelling television when it's on. But then afterwards, you're like, these are the worst people ever. Why are we making these people famous? Like, they're just
one
the
of
worst
them is dead
kinda.
Now.
I know, yeah, I don't know. One
There's
died,
one guy from season, the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, they're just the worst kinds of human beings. And we're just making them famous by watching this crap. So I shan't be watching season two.
Okay, fair enough.
Sorry to bum you out there.
Fair enough, yeah.
Excuse me. So, your first option is Finch.
Finch?
Finch, yeah, this is a brand new one. It's on Apple Plus.
Apple Plus.
Yeah. You have my login, it's fine.
Okay. F-I-N-C-H?
F-I-N-C-H, yeah.
Sound like a real owl one. Is that F-I-N-R?
Is that with that Tom Hanks fella? And your second option is brand new on Netflix and it's called Red Notice.
Red Notice.
Ryan Reynolds again, so sorry. But
or ED.
Or what?
Or ED.
Or ED. Yeah. No, that would be, yes, yeah. That would be different.
Cool. I always see stuff. I should really write them down because I always see stuff and then I'm like, oh, I'll get Ro to like watch that next time. And then I forget. Have you seen War Dogs?
War Dogs? No. Who's in that?
It's Jonah Hill and I can't remember the other actor.
Oh, Miles Teller.
Yeah,
Jonah Hill, Miles Teller. Yeah. No, I haven't seen that.
War Dogs. Or Great News.
Great News. No, I haven't seen that either.
Yeah, it's a sort of a light and breezy series.
Oh, TV series. Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
Both are on Netflix.
Cool. All right. I'll give that a bash.
And I'm just making a note of your one. Cool. I'm sorry. Finch is Apple Plus and Red Notice is Netflix.
Also, yes.
and their movies.
They sure are.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, there you go. We will talk to you guys next week. And in the meantime, if you want to message us, you can email at whydidyoupodcast@gmail.com or Instagram at whydidyoupodcast. So yeah, let us know any suggestions or what your thoughts of what we're reviewing is. Let us know. Okay. Well, that's everything.
That's it.
Have a great week, everyone.
We'll talk to you later. Bye. Bye.